Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Sorry, I'm distracted because we have a TV in here and someone's MacBook just connected to it. Whoever Luis is, your MacBook, if you're in the building, or you can just hear my voice because you're out there someplace, your MacBook is connected to our TV and it's telling me a passcode for AirPlay. So I don't know. Hey, it's 6495. Just to see if something pops up on the screen, if Luis is out there or his MacBook is out there. I want to see what you're looking at. But that's will be the entertainment for the day for me if it actually pops up, because the game itself last night we're going to talk about, but it was entertaining for me in a couple senses. Mostly, I have a deep-seated Patriot hate, so that went the way I wanted it to go, and we avoided maybe the most fraudulent Super Bowl winner in a while now. Like, when you win a Super Bowl, there's not a lot you can say to a team who wins it. But if the Patriots had somehow found a way to luck their way into another Super Bowl, I mean, it's hard to say luck. But watching them play in these playoffs, you knew that team, undeserving. And the rest of the AFC should have been ashamed of themselves. Because you watch that team play last night, you go, what are they doing here? And it's kind of what we saw throughout the postseason. It's why Drake May has a particular nickname, Drake the Schedule May. You can also call him Drake Maybe. That is what Cousin Sal from, you know, Jimmy Kimmel and Bill Simmons, he calls him that. But Drake the Schedule May and that Patriot team looked the way they have looked for the three previous games, where thanks to their defense and the ineptitude of the quarterback they're playing, they found a way to win games. The most ludicrous thing I heard throughout the week, and it wasn't one person who did it, several people did it. It was like, you know, the New England Patriots, once they get in better weather, they're going to operate better offensively. If Drake May and that offense has a problem playing in bad weather, then you might as well pack him up right now. Because isn't the goal, if you're the quarterback for the Patriots, is to play well enough in the regular season to get cold weather games at home? So because of your familiarity with that weather, go win and make a Super Bowls? Isn't that what the whole point of being a cold weather team is? To get warm weather teams in your place? So if he was simply hampered by the cold weather, then they got real problems going forward. But it proved last night that it wasn't the cold weather. It was their team. I don't know that Will Campbell was looking to be a main character, but he is now. The tackle for the Patriots got dominated throughout. It continued it continued what was the playoffs. The Patriots gave up 15 sacks coming in. And who would have thought, for all the people finding ways to convince themselves that the Patriots are going to possibly win this game, who could have predicted that the team who couldn't block anyone in the playoffs would then go up against the best defense in football, at least points per game, and not block anyone? Six sacks, could have been seven if not for one being ruled a pick. If that was ruled a fumble, that would have been a seventh sack, which would have tied a record for most sacks given up. They would have gotten another one, but I think Owosu lined up offside. So it was an overall dominating performance. And, you know, if you're looking at it from a Houston perspective, beyond a lot of people tweeting, hey, this could have been the Texans at least playing in the game. They may have caught the same type of beating. We saw them play the Seahawks earlier in the year, and they caught a beating that night too. Beyond that, the sad thing I say coming from it is the fact that Seattle's defense stamping themselves the way they did last night means no one's going to remember this Texans defense outside of Houston. And maybe even us will forget about it, because you think about it. The best defenses in football, the ones that we remember, stamp themselves with Super Bowl wins and then dominant Super Bowl performances. The Legion of Boom, well, they had a name. A nickname helps. The Texans, I don't think, have a nickname. I guess their overall philosophy is swarm, but that's not a nickname. Like, Seattle has Dark Side. That'll stick. The Dark Side defense, and then you pair it with a dominant Super Bowl performance, they're going to be remembered, particularly if they back it up next year with another dominant year. The Texans defense, first of all, no nickname. Got to find one. And secondly, you don't get remembered if you lose in the divisional round. Name me a great defense that you remember who didn't make a Super Bowl run. You don't remember them. And it's not their fault. And sure, they can be great again next year, but this will be one of the defenses that gets forgotten to memory. Like a football nerd may remember that Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter were great. Jalen Petrie, Bullock, Stingley. And we here will remember it too. But as far as historically, the Seahawks will be the defense of 2026. Even though up until the final game of the regular season where the Texans pulled their guys, the Texans were going to lead in yards per game and points per game. But instead, the Seahawks got that. I think this is more of a nerdy stat. They lead in defensive DVOA, and they lead in offensive DVOA too. Everybody who has led in both has won a Super Bowl since they started measuring that, except for one. And I only know this because a reporter from a certain city tweeted it and with just a sigh. The Ravens, the 2023 Ravens, led in DVOA defensively and offensively and didn't win the Super Bowl. Everyone else who's ever done it, including the Seahawks last night, did it. So a dominating performance. And as far as my own personal bias, welcome to the club, Patriot fans. Now your quarterback has one of those, well, he was already bad for the first three games, but now he has the capper, and you join the likes of Justin Herbert, Trevor Lawrence, throwing Lamar Jackson, throwing C.J. Stroud, because when you're an overbearing fan base and you tell the world how great your quarterback is, it's great to be in a position where you don't have failures that anyone can point to. Now you have the biggest failure as far as performance. Drake May, as far as quarterback playoff performances go, the worst of all time. So if you get into a fight with a Patriot fan because they were ripping sheet, if you're one of those people who gets into football fights online with people, Patriot fans lose that leg to stand on because their guy, absolutely atrocious. He wasn't helped by his offensive line, but he was his own type of terrible too. If you go by the numbers, Drake May's minus 41.2 pass EPA is the worst in playoff history. Worst in recorded history. Look, okay, the playoffs go back years while we weren't doing this type of monitoring of numbers, but as far as recorded history is concerned, he has the worst pass EPA of all time. That's a number you don't get away from. So he's a Lawrence. He's a Stroud. He's a Herbert. He's a Lamar Jackson. Like, Josh Allen avoids this. He turns the ball over a lot, but he's played to a level where you don't really blame him for why the Bills lose. The other guys are firmly in a category of players who, if they had simply just played okay, their teams might have reached goals that they had set for themselves. So Drake May's another one. couldn't be happier. My agenda thrives.
It really is. Like, you watch Sam Darnold's performance last night, which was like, fine. You know, B. It wasn't very good.
You know, he missed some throws, like the not the
two JSN touchdowns.
Well, that one, the first one, I don't really blame him for. This pressure, JSN breaks, like the one right before the half.
Yeah, the Gonzalez one.
If he throws that accurately, that's a touchdown. It's 13-0, and the game's probably over then. Of course, it was over anyway, but that one, that's a touchdown. He may win the MVP if he makes that throw.
Yeah, and really, you sit there and you're like, as a quarterback against this Patriots defense and Patriots offense, you don't really have to. You just don't throw four interceptions in the first half.
Yeah.
Like, that's just the key to victory. Just hang on to the ball, and your defense will get enough stops to where you just keep getting the ball back, and you can kick field goals. It's like, yeah, that it was like the Texans' road to victory against the Patriots. That's just what the Seahawks did. Because, like you laid out, they both have good defenses, awesome defenses. Seattle's better in points per game and DVOA, but they're like relatively of the same
there's
caliber.
There's not much difference between the two.
And you watch that and you're like, wow, if only C.J. Stroud would have played like Sam Darnold in the Super Bowl.
Look, and Sam Darnold, the reverse of what he was in the regular season. Didn't turn the ball over once. The entire team. First time a Super Bowl winner has never turned the ball over in the playoffs. That's what they were doing. He was great against the Rams. Rashid Shaheed touchdown happened against the 49ers. That game was over, like the first kickoff. So he didn't have to be great there, but he was good there too. He just didn't turn the ball over for three straight games, and he didn't screw it up, and they win. And they played to a defense that was dominant, and they got an opponent in the Super Bowl that was flawed, that couldn't protect, and a quarterback who didn't have answers. We talked about it last week. Eric, I see you. We'll get to you. We'll go to break. We'll get to Eric and anyone else. 713-780-3776. We talked about it. That Boston area writer, Tom Curran, was like, Josh McDaniels, best OC of all time, he said last week. Of course, he didn't note that Josh McDaniels and the Patriots, just period in Super Bowls, don't score early in Super Bowls. And it's funny to say that and then watch him have no answers and they go scoreless through, what, three quarters of play? So perhaps not the greatest OC of all time, as we talked about last week.
No, I saw a stat where in their four playoff games, the Patriots had 16 points per game on offense.
The Jets were a better offense in the regular season.
The Jets in this regular season had 17 points per game.
Yeah, so Josh McDaniels has been on 10 Super Bowl staffs, credit to him, since 2000. The teams, he wasn't the OC in all of them, but the teams have scored three total points in the first quarter in 10 Super Bowls.
Wow.
Now, as I said, not responsible for all of them, but responsible for plenty of them. And he had Tom Brady for all but one.
Yeah, that's more just like an entire Patriots organization. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, they've been notoriously slow starters. But
Jason Myers got three in this game.
Yeah, but because they have Tom Brady, they were able to overcome. They didn't have Tom Brady last night. No. I think, in some ways,
do they win that game with Tom Brady?
This version, the one who was playing, one who was grinding on Alex Earl this week.
Yeah, that guy.
Give him a week.
Yeah. Get tune up.
Look, Will Campbell is still Will Campbell. So, and we saw Tom Brady not be able to beat a Giants team who could rush four. So he probably doesn't win it, just because Will Campbell is so bad. And look, the other guy, Wilson, ain't great either, but Will Campbell caught it all game long.
Oh, it was like the third play of the game. He got like singled out, the thing on the replay where they like highlight the guy's name and stuff. And I was like, the worst possible start to a Super Bowl, because like first 5 minutes of this game, it's already like, look at Will Campbell just get his ass kicked right here. It's like everyone's still watching. It's not like, you know, in the middle of the game where there could be some, you know, conversation, someone's up to you. It's like, no, it's
everyone's locked
the first
in
series, and it's like Will Campbell stinks.
And he was a storyline coming into the game for anyone who paid attention, and he confirmed all the questions. He became a talking point for former O-lineman and defensive lineman were going back and forth about his short arms or whether he's bad in pass sets. There's a lot of that. He became a topic of technique during the Super Bowl. That's how bad he was.
Super Bowl main character, Will Campbell.
When your quarterback is on a historic run of being terrible and a lot of people are talking about you, that's a problem. Yeah. We're going to hear one sound bite that kind of illustrated what was going on with Drake May and that Patriots offense when we come back. Eric, we'll get to you. You want to talk about Seattle, anyone else, 713-780-3776. We're talking Super Bowl. We'll get to some other things beyond that as we continue the show. You're welcome to join us. We will be back.
ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
All of a sudden, there's a rhythm to the New England offense. You can almost see a little confidence building.
Well, he's reading the defense now. He's seeing the blitz off the right side. He knows he's hot. He's got to throw it to the other way. These are the couple of best plays that he's had so far in this game.
8:50 to go. Trying to step up and shoot one downfield. It's intercepted. Ill advised throw in the middle. Julian Love has it. Love 50. Love 40 and out of bounds at the 36-yard line.
Nothing for you here. He's going to drop back. And they're going to have a crossing route in here eventually. But there's just no way that ball was going to be completed.
That is courtesy of NBC. That was when it was 19-7 and Chris Collinsworth is, and Mike Tirico, hey, let's sell this. We got a shot. It's about 9 minutes ago. The Patriots had scored on the Mac Hollins touchdown. They got a stop. So, hey, you know, you watch that logo, you've seen giant comebacks in the past, you're like, you know what, maybe we got something here. And then Julian Love picks off an ill-advised throw by Drake May. That pretty much put the game away. The Seahawks kicked a field goal to make it 22-7, and that was the ball game as the Patriots go down. So, tough job when you are the play-by-play guy and the analyst, and you're trying to get people to believe that this is still a game. And then the quarterback, who has to be good to make it happen, throws that awful pick on, like, first down. So, Chris Collinsworth and Mike Tirico. You heard Chris Collinsworth. I got nothing. I couldn't hear all that because I was clapping and going, let's go, Drake. Let's go.
He'd been begging to throw that one.
Yes.
He had been.
He completed a ball over the middle.
Yeah, with like five defenders.
Between five guys. So he tried it again. This time, no dice, as Julian Love was right there to make the play. Seahawks take over, win the game going away, and they're Super Bowl champions once again. And I'll make note of it. I may notice something, but we'll do it after we talk to Eric. Eric wants to talk Seattle. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I don't think Seattle deserves a nickname. The 85 Bears don't have a nickname. The 2002 Buccaneers don't have a nickname. And they're better defenses. And also, you know,
what? I thought the Bears were the monsters of the Midway. That wasn't their defensive name?
No, they had that before.
Okay.
The 85 Bears.
Got it.
But, this Super Bowl was as a season at the turning point. Halftime show, but that turning point halftime show hit hard on mute. I'll hang up and listen.
He's talking about the Latinas. For some people at least the Bad Bunny halftime show, the Latinas caught people's eye. Turning point, it was Kid Rock in jean shorts, I guess. That's the only clip I really saw. I didn't actually hear any of it. To be honest, the winner for me, and we'll get back to the football, the winner for me was Jessica Alba.
Wow.
She was there. She's like mid-40s, and you wouldn't know.
I feel like every once in a while she just pops up just to prove that, like, hey, by the way.
She has a beauty line that she has, and last time we talked about her was actually fairly recently because I don't know if she's still with him because it's a Hollywood relationship. But she was dating Danny Ramirez. He's a giant Miami Hurricane fan. He's also an actor. Oh, you would have seen him in, if you were like us, you would have seen him in some Marvel properties. He is the new Falcon. He was in the latest Hulk movie. No, it was a Captain America movie.
Captain America.
With Red
Don't
Hulk.
Try to take it away from with Red. I know he's not your Captain America.
Yes, particularly me, not my Captain America. With Red Hulk, Harrison Ford. And he was in that. But he was on Instagram celebrating a Miami win in a way you have to when Jessica Alba's with you. You can't be crazy about it. He was like, woo!
Yes, keep it cool.
They're in some location where he was watching it on a laptop. She probably doesn't allow TVs in her homes. So he's watching on a laptop for whatever reason. And he's like, yeah, Miami wins. And he got her to take a picture with the Miami Hurricane hat. So he's a winner in my book, no matter what. But she was there. Pedro Pascal was there, whatever. Thanks, Pedro, for showing up.
Yeah, cool.
But Jessica Alba, like, she's from my youth, she was one of the ones when I was a kid, still remains that way. Somehow.
Yeah, no drop off. Like Kevin Durant.
She's in a Kevin Durant type run right now where Kevin, shout out to the Rockets for winning over the weekend in OKC. Yeah. Kevin Durant type. Yeah. Older, but you couldn't tell, by the way.
Yeah. Jump shot still smooth.
And you know, because it's Hollywood, there's some women who are trying to keep up and be in the public eye have a certain look because they are doing the things you need to do to look whatever, I guess young or at least up with the times when it comes to additions to your face and all the other things. If you told me that is the same face untouched from like 22, when she was 22, I'd be like, you know what? You're right. You can't tell. Shout out to that beauty line. Whatever she's doing, it's working.
It's great. Ad.
Yeah, a Bad Bunny, cool. Jessica Alba, big winner. In fact, we're all winners that she decided to pop up during that halftime show. As far as what Eric said, getting back to the football stuff, while it wasn't the original name, it was a name that the Bears had before, they did slap it on the defense. So they did have a nickname. It wasn't theirs to start with, but it was the name given to them during that 85 season. So, I don't know what deserve means. If someone gives you a nickname and it sticks, it sticks. That's how nicknames work, even if it's not football related. Like, some nicknames you don't like. Like, somehow, some way, Alperen Sengun is being called overweight tortoise. I heard Raheel told me that. I don't know if he made that up himself just to get it off on the show, but he said he saw that somewhere. I don't know that it'll stick. We don't want it to, considering he's one of our stars. We'll play some sound from him. He apologized for something he said. But Dorian Finamiss,
yeah, that's good.
Is a nickname that may stick, at least with Rocket fans, considering what Dorian Finney-Smith is up to. Darkseid's a great nickname.
Really?
I think it's pretty good. Like, what do you like? Nicknames are hard. Like Legion of Boom, great, but only stuck because they were great. Darkseid's not a bad nickname for a defense. Like, the Texans don't have one, like I said.
Yeah, no, they're just swarm.
And that's a philosophy more than anything
Bulls
else.
On Parade back in 2011.
Was that great? And no, like, we'll remember it because we were here, but it's not going to be memorable for anyone else. So
I think J.J. Watt dropped it in the hype video, the playoff hype video.
Got it. And that playoff hype lasted like all the other playoffs for the Texans.
It's mostly same length.
Yeah. Sometimes they do lose a wild card game. Yeah, we forget about that, but usually they win it and then they lose in the divisional round, like they always do.
When they lose in the wild card round, you know that this is a special type of we're only here because the AFC South stinks.
Yeah.
when it's like a decent Texans team, it's like, all
right. But one of those years, they lost to an AFC South team.
The Colts.
Yeah, the Chiefs one, of course, is the one with the opening kickoff return and that's Wattcat and all that stuff. Yeah.
I knew this team wasn't good. Come on. 30-0.
Yeah. Ugh. It was bad. So whether you think they deserve a nickname or not, they do have it. It was mentioned on the air. And if they followed up with another year of this, whether they become Legion of Boom status, who knows? But you're dominant in that way and in the Super Bowl too.
Yeah.
It's gonna be something people remember.
Also, you know, MVP wars. Matt Stafford did pretty well against that defense.
Yeah, that's another thing. For all the applause that Mina Kimes got for taking down Dan Orlovsky, and she mentioned common opponent, if I'm Dan Orlovsky today, I was like, well.
Looks like we got another common opponent.
We have a common opponent, and my guy. Now, I know you pointed out it's a regular season war because she tried to cut it off at the knees for anyone who was arguing about how Drake Mace played in the playoffs. Common opponent, sure. But we did get another one. and it didn't go well for your guy.
Got nothing for you here.
Yeah, that should be how Mina responds if Dan Orlovsky just looks at her, puts his hand, puts his fist under his chin and just turns his head and just stares at her. Well, well, well. Common, you got something to say about common opponents now?
Got nothing for you here.
That's right. But Dan Orlovsky's not petty enough. If I had been eviscerated like that, not just by her, but by the general public who was siding with her, you think I wouldn't have a package ready? And then if we could get the rights, play what Chris Collinsworth said?
Collinsworth, you have to read between the lines because he's not as overt with it as like Brady and Aikman
are. He's not going to come out and say this guy has been terrible.
Yes, but if you could read, he was not impressed.
No.
At any point with what the stylings of Drake May and the Patriots offense.
And I pat, if I had another chair next to me, I'd pat the chair and go, Chris, welcome. Me and you. But I've been like this all year, despite what was going on. Never bought into it.
I mean, you've been like that since
North Carolina.
Duke and whatever, 2022.
This man couldn't beat Duke. And I'm supposed to believe in him? Stop it. I know it was Mike Elko's Duke, but still, it's still Duke. Stop it.
I don't think to beat NC State very much either.
They don't beat. Yeah, I forgot. Was it Doran has owned UNC for a while, and he owned Drake May, so... Yeah. I was not.
And now Mike McDonald finally gets a piece.
Well, yeah, I mean, to be honest, I mean, Matt Burke owned him. Who's Jesse Minter had his way. Vance Joseph had his way, too.
All of them are going, see?
See what happens when our offense doesn't screw it up?
Yeah, if I'm the Broncos especially, I'm like, you gotta be sick. Why do you? Because with the Texans, there's like a element of like, whoa, the guy had to have played better. The Broncos, it's like, he just didn't have to break his foot on the last play, the last play of the game.
Yeah, against the Bills. If our quarterback is here, we score enough before the snowstorm hits, and we win.
To give us a chance. Yeah.
Yeah. We win. You know, Bo Nix probably doesn't throw the backwards pass to give the Patriots their only touchdown.
Probably not.
I can't guarantee it.
No. But he hasn't done that in a while.
Yes. He hasn't done that since Auburn, probably.
Yeah.
So he probably doesn't do it. So even if the game is like 7-0, or they get a field goal to open up the second half, and it's 7-3, it may end 7-3 with the Broncos win. But instead...
They could have been the team that gets embarrassed.
By the way, Bronco fans, it's nice to make a Super Bowl, but you already have a Seattle ass beating on your resume in a Super Bowl. You just would have got another one.
Yeah, that's the thing with the AFC we've talked about, is like how basically every team that loses, you have to go like, man... Are you ever going to get a better chance than this to go to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, we say go to, not win.
Yeah, it's like, and now it's a little bit easier to be like, you know what, get my ass, like, making the Super Bowl, obviously great. But
those
like,
2 weeks leading up to it, it's great.
But if I have that facing me, like, and then after you lose, it's still the same thing of like, man, might never get here again. You know, like, this might be as close as you ever get. And it's an ass whipping that Chris Collinsworth can't fill time. He's like, can we start the downhill skiing now? Like, can we just
look tragic,
wrap this thing up?
I mean, it's a tragic thing that happened to Lindsey Vonn, but...
Messed up that they showed that, like, 30 minutes after the Super Bowl ended.
I mean, it's the star. The one star person we know from that competition.
That's, like, the only thing they showed from that competition. They showed, like, two other skiers go down and then, like, all right, here's Lindsey Vonn.
Yeah, the name you know.
Eating it.
Remember her and Tiger? Yeah.
I do remember that.
I remember that. Pena, we see you. We'll get to you when we come back. Anyone else want to jump in? 713-780-3776. Get your calls in. Of course, we're talking Super Bowl and, you know, some of the auxiliary stuff surrounding it we'll get to. You're welcome to get in. But first, I want to talk about Monument Chevrolet. You know who wouldn't have an awful time? You, if you went to Monument Chevrolet. If you had an awful Super Bowl experience, switch it up. Maybe a new car is something you need. You saw a lot of commercials. Now I'm going to give you one about a car place. That's great. Monument Chevrolet. Just go to the website, monumentchevrolet.com, and find the car, vehicle, SUV, whatever it is that you're looking for. They got great trucks, too. The Silverado 1500, you know I talk about a lot. And I do that because it's a great truck if you are looking for a truck. So find the great deals and the great vehicles all in one spot. That's Monument Chevrolet. Once you make your choice, then you just head on out there. They're in Pasadena off of Beltway 8 and 225. You should ask for Jeff. He is their GM. He wants to be your point person. Any questions you might have about a vehicle or anything else at Monument Chevrolet, he's the person that can get you the answer. So find the vehicle and the price, find the car on site, and then make the choice. And once you're there, beyond Jeff, they have great salespeople who will walk you through the car buying process in a way that goes at your pace. They're not going to rush you, but they also aren't going to hold you there if you have the car or vehicle, truck in mind that you want. And then they'll get you into that vehicle as quickly as possible and get you on your way. That's the Monument Chevrolet way. They're not pushy, but they will work with you at the pace that you like. From the salespeople to the finance people, they're all there working for you. That's Monument Chevrolet. So one more time, monumentchevrolet.com is the website. They're in Pasadena off of Beltway 8 and 225. Get a great vehicle at Monument Chevrolet. Chevrolet, together let's drive.
Houston's only FM sports station, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Peyton, if you want to get back in, you're welcome to. One thing that did catch my eye, and it's because it was a talking point a couple weeks ago, like Mike McDonald's family was there, and the little, I guess it was a toddler, maybe even younger than that. So he can see his kid. I can't fight it. That was the first thought when I saw that. When I saw that kid on the stage, he can actually see his kid.
Yeah, Mike McDonald's like, who is this?
I don't recognize you,
little Sam Darnold. How's it going? Oh,
oh no. So if you don't know, Mike McDonald was very open about his work week as an NFL coach, and he stated in an interview that he sets aside Thursdays as the time he can spend the most time with his kid. And from what we could tell, it seems like he said he spends about 30 minutes to an hour a week seeing his young child. I think the kid's name might be Jack. And of course, if you're a football person and a Seahawk fan, you're like, damn right, we just won a Super Bowl. I mean, if you are,
the trade-off was worth
it. Yes. Well, for Seahawk fans, maybe Mike McDonald, but for people who are like, huh, who aren't like football first, like, is that a healthy way to go about things? Or you have admitted to only seeing your child for an hour a week or so? We on this show believe it's a bit of an exaggeration, mostly because we can't imagine that being real and, you know, his significant other, his wife, being happy with that. But hey, it all worked out, right? Super Bowl winner, one of the now looked at as a defensive genius and going to be one of those guys people can think can do this over and over again. Because of his age, he's 38. I think he's the second youngest. I think McVay and Tomlin are tied at 36 for winning. He is now second youngest at 38. So he is one of the new faces of coaching.
Yeah, I mean, at least he just signed himself up to a Tomlin or Mike McCarthy type, like, hey, I can have a Super Bowl winner. I can just be an NFL head coach for the next 20 years.
He's probably certainly locked himself into, even if it goes, like, generally, everyone gets fired. If it goes wrong in Seattle, like, 5 years from now and they have to fire him, someone else will hire him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got that. He'll only be 44 at the time.
Other jobs.
Yeah, so, well, you win a Super Bowl and you don't leave your job in disgrace, you've got a shot, certainly, to be, well, we saw John Harbaugh.
Yeah, John Harbaugh. Another guy.
Won a Super Bowl in 2012.
Yeah.
And as everyone's talked about, his resume is very similar to a guy we like to make fun of, Mike McCarthy, but it didn't keep Mike McCarthy from getting hired. It certainly didn't keep John Harbaugh from getting hired. Yeah. Mike McCarthy openly lied about what he did to get prepared for his previous job, admitted to it later, and the Steelers were like, you know what? Sure, you lied in the interview that one time and admitted to it. You have so much hubris, you admitted to it. Come on in.
Yeah, you lied to Jerry Jones.
Yeah, everyone. I get lying to him, but you would never lie to a Rooney, right?
Of course not. The first family of football.
Would never. So, Mike McDonald, now stamped, made man.
Clint Kubiak, stamped.
I think Tom Brady very thrilled that the guy who, now, he wasn't the main factor. I mean, Mike McDonald was.
No,
but the guy who beat the Patriots is now his head coach. I think that's a big deal for him.
Yeah.
Because why would, it's funny that you think about it. A lot of people, Patriot fans mostly, who I don't care if he doesn't want to root for the Patriots. We talked about it. He's the owner of the Raiders. I mean, should he be actually openly rooting for any team? But he is actually hiring the assistant from the Seahawks. Why would he be rooting against his new hire to lose and for the just because he's a Patriot? He's also not really a Buck, but he is a Buck in some ways. I get it if he doesn't want to come out and go, yeah, you know what? I'm not only as an owner rooting for another team, I'm rooting against my new hire as well. So Tom Brady gets Kubiak in. Clint Kubiak, and I won't say admitted to it like it's a crime. He said when asked a couple of times, yeah, I'm going to the Raiders. Yeah. It's not official yet. The Raiders haven't, I don't think they tweeted anything out yet, but that's over. He's going to be the Raiders coach.
Yeah.
Another thing that came from the Super Bowl, although it happened the day before, shout out to Jordan Hudson. If you missed it, North Carolina, last second win over their hated rival Duke, three made court rush. Turns out there's more time on the clock. So they had to take all the fans off the court and do it all over again. Rush the court again. John Shire has alleged that one of his assistants got punched in the face. We've got cameras everywhere. No one has seen that video yet of one of his assistants getting punched in the face. I did see a UNC fan throw like a water cup at someone on the Duke staff. Don't know if it landed. Just saw a cup flying.
Careful. That's how the Malice in the Palace started.
Well,
Duke fan. I know you were like born when that happened, but still.
North Carolina fan.
Or North Carolina. I know you weren't born when that happened.
No, I did. It was like a 35-year-old. It wasn't, okay. It wasn't
you definitely
student.
Should know.
It wasn't a student who did it. I don't know that we've seen the punch yet. So,
I mean, this is what John Shire's Duke does. They get the court stormed on them, and then they make up something about that happened to them. Like, well, Kyle Phillips-Houtsy.
Yeah.
Like 2 years ago.
Yeah, I remember that.
like faked an ankle injury.
Yeah, I do remember that happening.
Sympathy.
Yeah.
Didn't miss a game.
Yeah. Everyone was like, yeah, we gotta really look into that. Players are getting hurt.
Next game, probable.
He played. Yeah. It is. I forgot about that, but that is a Shire thing. Everyone's court storming. Someone got hurt. Now another guy got punched in the face. Still waiting on that
video
evidence.
Pending.
Still waiting on that evidence. But what we saw before all that, Jordan Hudson, the girlfriend of Bill Belichick, wore an Orchids of Asia shirt to the game. You're like, what's that? If we remember Robert Kraft, that's where he got pinched because I like saying pinched in this particular story. He got pinched by the feds. Turns out how they were conducting their investigation was unlawful. So the charges were dropped. But it was a masseuse place that had extras involved. I think.
Including pinching, as it turns out.
If you so chose.
Yeah.
Robert Kraft was into the forehands. I remember that from the story. And she wore a shirt to the game. Depending on how you feel about that form of pettiness, some people were upset with it, told her to grow up. Other people were like, you know what, I like her more now. So the Kraft, Belichick, Brady triumvirate, messy, remains messy.
Where do you even get an Orchids of Asia t-shirt?
Raheel told us this morning that Kevin Joseph, friend of me, and Raheel and John bought a shirt for him as a bit. You can buy those. They are easily found if you so choose. You can buy an Orchids of Asia shirt.
That had to have gone on sale like after the Kraft thing, right?
I don't even know if Orchids of Asia prints a shirt. Well, they're now permanently closed because, the FBI got involved.
Yeah.
But I'm sure someone...
Human trafficking, yeah.
Yeah, it's not great. Which people brought up. Hey, you're making jokes about... Okay. But the shirt was printed by someone. You find the logo thrown on a shirt. What's Orchids of Asia going to do? They don't even exist anymore. They're not going to sue you over it. They got their own problems.
It would be funny if they said, tarnishing the good name of Orchids of Asia.
Actually, not even that. Hey, that's our logo. You owe us.
Copyright.
Hey, we got legal fees to pay for. So,
a lot of them, yeah.
So she wore the shirt, and as I said, depending on how you feel about things, you reacted a certain way. Yeah, I was like, oh, that's interesting. She's petty as hell. Or maybe she's a comedian and she's funnier than I thought. Either way, that happened at the UNC Duke game.
You do have to feel for Patriots fans.
Do we?
Yeah, you have to.
Why?
They won 6 Super Bowls and now they're basically going through a divorce. It's like their parents are getting divorced with Kraft and Brady and Belichick.
Yeah, it's... I'm sure...
Never mind, they played a Super Bowl yesterday, but...
I'm sure. Yeah, in some ways, I'm sure they felt like that triumvirate, well, particularly Brady and Belichick, those two would just ride off in the sunset, and it would all be hunky-dory.
Patriots for life.
And they wouldn't have to have the messiness that has come from it. And you know what? Oh, well. Oh, well. That's life. That's life. Sometimes sometimes things can't be perfect.
You got to feel
comfort for yourself with the championships. And I got distracted because Eric called in. I was going to get to this. Philip, I see you. We'll get to you before we go to break. Some of this, particularly their confidence going into this Super Bowl, was I think they believe it's their God-given right to win these. They won enough of them. By the way, they're now tied for now they have the most, or are they tied for most Super Bowl losses now with 6. So, sure, you get to a lot, but you lose a lot, too, is the way some people were framing it. But I think they believe that logo makes Super Bowl. It's their God-given right to win it, ignoring the fact that they lose plenty of them, too.
just as many.
Yeah, so.
But just the ones pre-01 they don't really care about.
Yeah, so that confidence coming in, I found odd when everyone can look at their team and look at the team they're facing and go, hey, you guys can't block anyone. You think you're going to block them?
Yeah.
Sure. We're the Patriots. I guess some of the assumption was Sam Darnold was going to throw them the game, too.
Yeah.
Didn't get that.
No. You got B-minus Sam Darnold.
And that was enough to blow your asses
good
out.
Good enough to where I during the game, towards the end, wasn't super entertaining. I was just looking at the win probability chart, and just when was it ever the lowest? It was like at 80 in the second half.
Yeah.
That was the lowest it ever got in the second half. I think lowest it got was like 60 in the first quarter. So
yeah, it was
a cruising victory. I mean, really the only time I was like, uh-oh, was when it was 19-7. I think like right before that interception, I was like, Seattle probably wishes one of those 4 first half field goals was a touchdown
like
right
now. Sam Darnold was on target right before the half.
Yeah, just one of them.
Yeah, one of those. It's because of the logo. Did I at points think, they're not going to Brady this, are they? Did I think when it was 19-7 and he hit that pass to Kyle Williams right before the pick that we played? I was like, oh, are we really in?
Yeah, is this they're moving the ball pretty well.
Is this going to become a game? It did cross my mind.
Yeah.
And then Drake May did the Drake May thing, and okay, game's
over. We're good.
Yeah, good, cool. I can relax. Let's go to Philip here before we go to break and close out hour one. What's up, Philip?
Hey, guys, good morning. I just wanted to talk about catchy defensive nicknames, if I find them catchy, that either didn't make it or didn't win the Super Bowl. Obviously, you guys mentioned Bulls on Parade. I realized that didn't, really go nationwide, but I thought it was kind of catchy, and I bought in, I bought one of those T-shirts, and I lived down in Houston. Another one is the Eagles defense from the late 80s, early 90s, Gangrene, with, Reggie White and Jerome Brown and Clyde Simmons. The New York Sack Exchange for the Jets, I thought was a really catchy name, with Gaspinot and Klecko and Marty Lyons. But none of those made it to the Super Bowl, so I think the most kind of heartbreaking or tragic example is the Vikings from the 70s.
They were known as
the Purple People Eaters.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a really neat one, but they whiffed on those 3. I don't know if they were called the Purple People Eaters when they faced the Chiefs at the 69 season, but I throw those out there.
Appreciate it, Phil.
And that's all I got.
Yeah, I typed it in from 68 to 97. I don't know when the name actually started, but they call that era of Vikings defense and that defensive line the Purple People Eaters. Yeah, so if you're like someone who's watched NFL films a lot, or you have a great recall, you're going to be able to remember some of these names. But the Legion of Boom is like at when you think Seattle of that era, you're going to think Legion of Boom. And it's because they were able to stamp it with Super Bowl and they got back to another one.
I don't think we really do nicknames – in this country like we used to, where it's like now, like, you really got to – either it has to be like a corporate push to make a nickname happen, or you have to win constantly to get it to stick. Because there really isn't, like,
that's true. We don't that do much. It so like, much.
It's Drake May's the schedule, you know? that's Drake May, second MVP, his second year in the league. Like, he should probably have a cooler nickname than –
I'm sure Patriot fans have one.
Well, isn't it the things like it's Drake May?
Yeah.
Or it's Drake May?
It's Drake May.
Yeah, it's like
it's not great.
Stupid.
Yeah, and that's why now.
Well, there's the other one. But it's more to describe oneself as gay for May.
Yeah. Yes.
But it's not really for him.
It's not his
nickname.
Which
I'm sure he's glad.
It's not his nickname. We talked about it, that Patriot fans are so enamored because, you know, they got tricked by Mac Jones. Now they think Drake May is their answer because they think they have their next great one. And look, the Packers did it. The Colts had a little break between Manning and Luck. So it has happened where you find your way to having a second all-timer. And Luck, of course, injuries short-circuited his career. So they think they have their second one. Right now, the allegations of it all being because of the schedule are going to stick until proven otherwise when they get the opportunity next year against the first-place schedule. All right, we'll go to break with that. We'll talk some Rockets when we come back. They did get a win, and I don't even want to use, but a couple guys didn't play. The way they – for the other team. The way they had been playing, I don't care. I don't care if Chet, Shea, none of them played. Shea and Jalen, the good Jalen Williams didn't play. I don't care. They needed that, and it was a close ball game. So we'll talk about that. And Alperen Şengün had to answer for the first time for the things he said to a certain referee. He'll talk about that. So we'll hear that sound when we come back as well. Hour two when we get back.
ESPN 97.5.
Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait. Lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.